Good evening, welcome to the third part of Hilchos Borer. Let's just review the points that we saw until now, and then we will get to, first of all, follow up on the questions we left from last week. And we're actually going to talk this evening about filtering water on Shabbos in Washington Heights mostly, and also elsewhere, but more importantly in Washington Heights. So last week we talked about we saw that borer is only when you differentiate between two separate minim, two separate species, but if you just want to separate the small from the big, like, for example, you want to get rid of the small ones because you're serving guests. So you don't want to have the small, you know, let's say you have a plate of rugelach, like they have right over there, and your son likes the chocolate that comes out of the edges. Do you know what I mean? At the edge of the rugelach, at the two sides. So let's say, I'm just saying that because that's exactly what I do. So somebody broke off the chocolate from the edges. And then you have some nice rugelach, and you're having guests coming over. So you want to remove all of the smaller rugelach, the rugelach that have the pieces that were broken off, and leave the nice ones. So is that one species or two species? We saw that Rama said that if something's smaller, it's not different, it's just smaller. And that's not a different min, and therefore I think it would be permitted to remove all of those half-eaten. I mean, the Rama doesn't talk about half-eaten. I'm adding that, but I think it should be the same. You could remove the half-eaten rugelach and leave the nice rugelach, or remove the small pieces of salmon so that you'll be left with the nice pieces of salmon on the plate. Even though you're taking away what you don't want, what you don't want to have on the serving tray, that is still okay because they have the same species. They're all rugelach. They're all pieces of salmon. Then we mentioned last week that if things are cooked differently, you have baked salmon as opposed to pickled salmon. That is considered, that has two different flavors. We saw the Prima Gadim said that it depends on flavoring. Even if it's the same min, like both salmon, but different flavors, meaning prepared in different ways, that would also constitute two different kinds of minim. Similarly, if you have chicken breast that's grilled or fried, so of course that's definitely two minim, right? That's definitely two minim. We saw that if something is ruined, that's considered bad. So let's say you have your salmon and then you have your burnt salmon, and you want to take off the burnt salmon, so if it's really burnt, you're removing the bad from the good, and that will be a problem, because you can't take out the bad from the good. We saw, however, Nissen Krelitz told us that that's only if it's a real bad. It's not just like crispy as opposed to soft salmon. The burnt has to be really burnt. If it's really burnt, like it's less good quality, it's really bad, that is going to be a problem. But if it's just not as good, it's all the same. Everything's the same. Similarly, if we have bread that is a little fresher or not as fresh, that also is considered the same, even though you're taking away the bread that's not as fresh, it's just lacking freshness. It's lacking a positive. It's not that the two-day-old bread is bad. If the two-day-old bread is bad, it's stale. So then we'll say, yeah, you can't take the stale away from the good. But if it's just not as fresh, you have something a little less fresh and a little more fresh, that's all considered one happy family, and you can separate however you want. That was last week. And, of course, we finished off last week with chicken, white chicken and dark chicken. We said that it's a machlokes. Rabbi Shechter, when I spoke to him, said, it's all chicken. I know some people prefer this, some people prefer that. And I urged you all on your next encounter with a gentleman to clarify that you actually do not like the same type of chicken, just to aid your consumption of whole chickens. That we talked about last week. We don't have to review that, I think. But we saw the chicken tops and bottoms. That's machlokas, whether it's considered two different minim or one min. Based on that, we ended off with a question last week, and that's what I want to pick up this week. The question was, what happens if you have different kinds of apples? Cortland, Fuji, Granny Smith, Macintosh, Red Delicious, Yellow, Golden, that's Golden. And what else do we have? What? Pink Lady? I never heard of Pink Lady. Gal, I've heard of. Pink Lady, I've never heard of. And Key Food, wow, okay, I don't go to Key Food. I'm on this side of the Heights. Pink Lady? Okay, we'll have to look into this. Then we also have the question, what about oranges? Oranges, it's a little bit more, the question's a little stronger because here we have juice oranges and we have eating oranges. So it's not just that they're a different name, like Gala versus Cortland versus Fuji. It's also a different, a little bit of a different use. I mean, you're allowed to eat a juice orange and you're allowed to juice an eating orange. It's allowed. But on some level, they have different purposes. So I asked Rabbi Schechter this question this afternoon, and he said, you know, all apples are apples, and they're similar enough to be considered one species. And oranges are oranges, and they're similar enough to be considered one species. So that answers our question from last week. I'll tell you the problem. The problem is that Rav Schechter is the same person who told us last week that tops and bottoms of chickens are all the same. So that's the same opinion. He considers, even though there are little differences, he considers as long as it's chicken. As long as they're apples. As long as they're oranges, they're oranges. But we saw last week that a poskim who said that tops and bottoms of chicken, white and dark, are different and are considered two species. So I don't know what those poskim would say about Cortland apples and Gala apples and eating oranges and juice oranges. So I don't know if I did my... I told you I did my homework and I told you what Rav Schechter said. And then as I realized that Rav Schechter was the one who anyway said everything, as long as it's chicken, it's all one type. So of course he holds all apples and all oranges are also one type. So I'm not sure what the other poskim, the poskim who say that white meat and dark meat are two species, would they also say that Cortland and Fuji are two species? That we have to, I guess, research further. Yeah, Micha.
Can we take this concept of different meaning from a parent within Mishlach?
Excellent question. Fabulous, fabulous question. On Purim, we have the halach of Mishlach Manos, and as the Pasuk says, Manos, plural. It has to be two different species. So when you were in first grade, your teacher taught you incorrectly that they have to be two different brachas. So, bad news, not everything you learned in kindergarten is true. They do not have to be two different brachas. Do they have to be two separate minim? Well, however we define min over there, Michal's asking if that could be the same definition as we would apply here. I have to look into that. That's a great question. There are other areas in halacha, which we're not going to go into now, which also depends on is something defined as the same or different. Not for us, but that's a great question. Yeah.
Going back to something that oranges are apples, oranges are apples, what about the difference between a grape tomato and a cherry tomato and like a red tomato?
Okay, so let's say I have a pile of tomatoes and I only want the big tomatoes because I'm cutting up I'm cutting up a big sliced tomato salad, not the cherry tomato salad, and they're all mushed together in the vegetable drawer, for example. So, I would say the following: I would say that ultimately, in my mind, again, there are subtle differences, but I think tomatoes are pretty much similar flavored. No one's down pouncing on me yet. Okay, we'll keep on going. Let's assume that tomatoes are pretty much... I think tomatoes are more similar in flavor than a Granny Smith and a Macintosh or a Fuji. That's what I think.
But then where do you draw the line?
Okay, so wait. I don't have an answer for you. But if we assume that tomatoes and cherry tomatoes are all the same flavor, so their difference in what?
Size.
What primarily distinguishes them? In size. And that's what we learned 5 minutes ago and last week, the Ramah says explicitly, based on a Trumas Hadeshin, one of the Rishonim, that size does not make two things considered two different meanim. And if you're allowed to separate things based on size, and if that would be correct, if we're right that tomatoes taste like tomatoes, whatever kind of tomatoes they are, it would be permitted to take out the ones you don't want and be left with the ones that you want because you're not separating between species. It's just large and small, which is not considered a which is not considered borer. So let's say practically, halacha l'maisa, you want to slice up oranges for a Shabbos party for the kids, right? They all want to have gummy bears, and you want them to have orange slices. So at least let the orange slices be good orange slices. If you have like juice orange sliced up, it's bad enough you're not giving them gummy bears, at least let them have normal eating oranges. So you want to take out all the juice oranges, put them aside, and cut up whatever, and cut up what's left. So according to what we're saying, that would be okay. Because since oranges are oranges, and they're pretty similar in taste, and they have the same name, oranges, so when you take those out, you're not separating two species. You just took out some out of others. But you're not separating between two species. And you could take out the juice oranges you don't want, be left with the eating oranges that you do want, and slice them up and put them out for Shabbos party. Yes?
Different colors of popsicles.
That's the next question. Different colors. Popsicles, well, it's actually tricky. I happen to be a bucky in popsicles. And the newer, let's rephrase that, the better popsicles, better in the sense of, you'll see what I mean. Do you remember when you were a kid and you used to have like red popsicles on Shabbos afternoon? I don't know how it works with girls, but boys who wear white shirts. So I remember when I was in camp many years ago, one of the Rebbeim who had Bli Ein Hara 10 boys. His name, some of you might know him, but he'll remain nameless for now. Their mother was makpid that the boys are only allowed to have lemon ices. A lot of wisdom there. Okay, so the newer ices all are often clear. Depends which kinds you get, but there's some ices that are all clear. But they're just, the kids think they're different. I think they all taste the same also. So you have the different color wrappers, but the inside is all clear. So that's not so much of a question if they're all the same. But you're asking, let's say we have real different flavored, if they taste the same, but they're just different colors. So I'll answer your question, which is actually the next thing that I wanted to speak about. Red grapes and black grapes. I'm sorry, red grapes and green grapes. Do they taste the same? I mean, within range. Do they taste the same or different? Oh, that's right. No, there obviously is a distinct taste. But everything has its own taste. So I'm saying within some realm of... Okay, so I would assume that green grapes have a little more tartness. I realize that. They are a little more tart, a little more kick, and red grapes are just, they're sweet, but there's nothing like, no punch. They don't have that Granny Smith kind of punch to it. So they're both called grapes. They're both within a realm of, you know, within the spectrum of tasting similar. Where do they differ? In their color. They're red or they're green. And here I think it'll be a little easier for me. Let's say you have black olives and green olives. Are they very different in taste?
Yes.
Okay. I'll stick to grapes. Give me a run for my money here. So the Aruch HaShulchan says explicitly regarding this question that as things taste the same and are the same species, but they differ only in color, color does not constitute a different species. And therefore, again, assuming that I'm right that grapes are pretty much similar in their taste, red grapes and green grapes, and you want to, let's say you have a platter, and you're making a platter with pineapple and strawberry. That's a nice yellow and red. That's a nice, you know, contrast on the palate, you know what I mean. And you want some green, because that will liven up the color pattern on your plate. Now, if you have a red grape, that's going to ruin it, because it clashes with your strawberries. Right? Right, so you want to get rid of the red grapes. So could you take those red grapes out, put them away, and then you'll be left just with the green grapes that you want to use, because it's a beautiful tray of your yellow pineapple and the red strawberries and the green grapes. It's just going to it's just so aesthetically pleasing. So could you get rid of those red grapes? Take them out? Mamash, take out what you don't want. Get rid of them. And just be left with the green grapes that will help you with your color coordination. So we're saying that 100%, they're the same thing. Grapes are grapes. And therefore, just because they differ in color, that doesn't make them different species. And therefore, you are allowed to separate the red grapes that you want, that you don't want, that you dislike. You could even use a kli if there's some like magical, you know, red grape separator or machine. You'd be able to use that machine on Shabbos, barring any electrical issues, to separate, because that's not called borer. That's not separating two species. If you don't have two species, there's no separation to talk of. Okay. Now, let's get into the kishkas of Hilchos Borer in terms of applicable cases, halach l'maisa. Let's talk about silverware. Let's start with this. You have a dishwasher Yeah, question.
Jelly beans is a very touchy subject.
Okay, it's touchy on a lot of ways. First of all, because this shiur started only for the sake of jelly bellies. That's it. So this shiur especially takes it very seriously. Second of all, black jelly beans are very, people get very heated in terms of their like or dislike of black jelly beans. If I were to say that jelly beans taste the same, I'd probably be thrown out of here so fast. So I'm a little scared to get into jelly beans. But if we assume that they're all, let's even buy like a really low quality, not Jelly Bellies, you don't buy like a brand name, you buy like a cheap, I don't know, like Liebers or something, like the ones we have. You buy Liebers, really low quality jelly beans, and they all taste the same. It's just the question, is it FD 40 or FD Red 40 or FD Blue 10? That's really the difference between them. So then it would all be the same. But if we talk about black jelly beans, I think black jelly beans are totally different than other jelly beans. And therefore they have a different flavor, so maybe they would be considered a different tom. A different tom, and therefore it might be a different species. So for those who don't like the black jelly beans, if they would remove the black jelly beans, that would be a problem. But my wife's favorite jelly beans are black jelly beans. So if you want to get rid of your black jelly beans, you are allowed to play the game and get rid of them by feeding them to, by giving them to my wife. You're really getting rid of them because you don't want them, but we're playing the game and you're doing a positive thing. And that happens a lot. Like, let's say there's somebody who doesn't like onions in their salad, or there's a kid and the onions are spicy, so but the salad they'll eat. So you want to take out the onions, so you can take out what they don't want. However, if you take out the onions to give to somebody else who likes onions, so I'd be allowed, I do like onions, so I'd be allowed to take out the onions from my son's salad, and he's not going to eat, which he won't eat because he doesn't like, it's too spicy for him. I can take out those onions and eat them for myself, even though I'm really, I don't just walk around, you know, picking onions out of people's plates and eating onions. I'm only doing it because he's not going to eat the salad if there are onions there. So I'm only doing it to take out the psoles, but since ultimately I am taking it to eat, that is going to be, that will be okay.
Subjectivity is significant when it comes to butter. It depends on what you want.
Right, so what methods mean for a second? I'm going to eat cherry tomatoes. I'm going to eat other tomatoes.
If somebody only eats cherry tomatoes and doesn't eat other tomatoes,
or only eats a certain type of grape, that's much more likely that you'll find someone who only eats red grapes and not blue grapes, or the opposite. And they're saying that there's no difference.
If there's somebody who, for whatever reason, will only eat, no, subject on that, subjected to that person. But you're asking a different question. You're asking something that is one min, but still the person is very particular.
It's like an apple, except who doesn't want to eat the peel of an apple. It's still one min.
Well, peeling we'll get to a different week. The peeling is a whole other sugya. But you're saying somebody who only eats Granny Smith and doesn't eat Macintosh. You're saying, like, even if I paid you, you will not eat a green grape. You only eat red grapes. I'm not sure. I know the Poskim discussed what you're asking. I don't remember what they said. The Poskim asked what you're asking. And they say, maybe, if some, meaning normally, we think it's subjective. Whenever you don't want, that's so less, unless, it, I'm sorry, normally it's subjective, and normally we consider it a min or not. But you're saying somebody has this, they're an istanis, that would be the halakhic term we'd use, and they only like this specific kind of whatever, that might be a machlokas, I don't know.
Also,
going
back to the grapes, let's say you take, switch the red grapes from the green grapes all the time, but you're doing it for color, but you do have the preference for the red grapes or the green grapes.
Start again. I have a mixture of grapes, and I want to get rid of a certain type. I want to get rid of the red grapes because I want the green grapes for their color.
Right, you don't like red grapes, but you're doing it because
I think since these are two meaning that are defined as one, because color is not significant enough to define the species, it's considered one min, and there's no halachas of order, don't apply to this.
You know that
so that I'm not sure. If that particular person, you know, never eat, even if you particularly like one or the other, that's not enough to make it a separate species. If you only eat one and you will never eat the other, that's not my sure. But just because you prefer cherry tomatoes or not cherry tomatoes, red grapes or not red grapes, you know, pink cotton candy, jelly beans, or whatever else jelly beans, that, you know, that itself isn't going to define as two species. What you were asking that I said I don't know is if a person exclusively will only eat one and will not eat the other, then perhaps for that person, even, you know, Macintosh as opposed to Fuji would be two different meanings for that person. That's our question, which I don't know the answer to. Yeah.
This idea of like someone has a preference that you like, or like what if it's like
an average? No. Solus is whatever you want at this time. If it's because of your allergies or your like or whatever you're in the mood for right now, it all depends on whatever you do want now as opposed to what you don't want now. What you do want now for whatever reason, health, taste, whatever else, that's okay. Whatever you don't want for whatever reason, for right now, that's called psolas. And if you could have different, the same thing could be psolas and ochal at different times, based on what you're in the mood for. Okay? Yeah. Color when it comes to clothing. When it comes to clothing, different color is a different purpose, because you cannot wear pink socks with your red shirt. Right? You could wear your black socks with your red shirt. So the fact that one works with your red shirt, one doesn't work with your red shirt, that shows you that it has a different purpose. Different shade is a great question. Let's say you have cookies, right? You have cookies with different, let's say Hanukkah is coming and you make these, everyone had before Hanukkah makes those cookie shapes, either stars or menorahs or dreidels, right? That's what we all have. So I haven't seen it anywhere. If I had to guess, I think that would be similar to the appearance issue of color. I don't think that would make it two different species. That's my own hunch. I didn't see it discussed, but that's my hunch. Okay. Let's talk about silverware, because this is very, very halach l'maisa. So, you put the dishes in the dishwasher. Friday afternoon, it's ready before Shabbos, and now you want to put your silverware away. So, you're not going to be able to sort them and take them and put them in their containers in the drawer, because you're sorting different species. A fork has a different purpose than a knife, which has a different purpose than a spoon. However, if you want to take out one piece of silverware and dry it, and once it's in your hand, put it in the fork section, and the next one you pick it up and you dry it, and you look at it, oh, this is a spoon. I'm going to put that in the spoon section, and the next one you pick up, whatever happens to come to your hand, you're not picking anything. You're just taking the next one that comes to your hand without sorting, without choosing. And then once you have it in your hand, you want to put it in section A, B, or C silverware tray. That is permitted, because you are not borrowing. You're not choosing anything. You're not separating anything. You're just taking whatever you have. Once it's in your hand, individually, it's not a taroves. It's not a taroves. It's not a mixture right now. I could put it wherever it has to go in any of the appropriate containers. Let's say, however, you have them all mixed up in your dishwasher, and you want to go set the table now. So you want to take all the forks. So you're going to choose just the forks. So here, that's ochel mitoch hapsolas. You want to put forks out now. And you're going to do it for setting the table right now, because we're about to eat dinner in the next few minutes. And you're doing it with your hand. You don't have a machine that separates your forks for you. So you have met all three criteria, and therefore you are permitted to, right before the meal, go to the dishwasher or the drain board, wherever you have a whole bunch of different things all together, and pick out the forks that you want to use and the knives that you want to use. And there you will be able to separate, as long as you take what you do want. If you do want each of them, I think you would probably be able to take a handful of forks and simultaneously a handful of knives, and with your third hand a handful of spoons, and yes, put them wherever they go on the table. So while we're talking about silverware, and we just mentioned 10 minutes ago that usually size is not significant, and you remember we said we could just take out the smaller pieces of cake that you don't want to serve, or the small pieces of salmon that you don't want to serve your guests. What about a smaller size when it comes to silverware? You have one format of a spoon. A large spoon is called a serving spoon. A bigger spoon is called a tablespoon. And a small spoon is called a teaspoon. So is that just different in size? If it's just different in size, then halacha says what about size? Size doesn't define something as a separate min. Size is meaningless. They're all the same. And therefore, does that mean that I could do borer between tablespoons and soup spoons, between soup spoons and teaspoons? No. Here, it's going to be like what we said about the size determining its purpose. So last week we talked about, I had a black sock, Hanes Comfort Tech black sports sock. Size 12 for one person, size 4 is for a different person. All that's different is size, but it has a different purpose. Different person, it's a different purpose. And therefore, similarly, a tablespoon and a teaspoon, even if it's the same, you know, figure, it's the same, it's molded, it's the same, you know, morning lilies made by Oneida, you know what I mean. It has the same pattern, everything is the same, it's just different in size. Here, size does make a difference. A tablespoon is not a teaspoon, a teaspoon is not a tablespoon, and I think it would, the size is, yes, impacting on their roles, and therefore it would be considered two different meaning, unlike different size cookies, different size pieces of cake, different size pieces of salmon, where everything is just to eat. They're just different sizes. Let's just apply what we just said to another case. Let's say this, I think, happens mostly when... Yeah, question. So the only way to do that would be taking one piece of silverware at a time and looking at it and deciding where you want to put it.
Okay, even though in theory then there's no whole bottle of silver, because it's just...
That's exactly why you're going to be able to do it, because it's there's no whole of silver. You're just taking a piece and looking at it and saying, where should I put it now? Okay, I'll put it over here.
But it has to be one at a time.
Correct. Exactly. Correct. So let's say the cleaning lady comes on Friday and she washes all the dishes from the week. And how does she leave it? She leaves it as a pile of dishes. There's bowls there, there's small plates, and there are big plates. So could you go ahead and pick out the big plates, put them in the big plate pile in the cabinet, the small plates, put them in the small plate place in the cabinet? That, of course, you can't, because even if we say they're similar, they're just different in size, a small plate is an entree, is for the beginning of the meal, and the main plate is for the main course. They're different purposes. So therefore, they're two different species, even though they're different only in size, because here size does impact on the role that the plate plays. So you cannot separate what you want to put them away. But if you want to set the table, so that's miyad. You're using it for immediate consumption for the meal you're about to have. Let's say you want to put out the main plates right now, the main course plates first, because that's what you put down first. So take all the main plate, the big plates, and put them on the table. Then you want the small salad plates. Take all the salad plates. Separate from whatever you want. Again, it's ochel mitoch psolas. The salad plate now you do want. I don't need the bowls now. I just need the salad plates. And it's biyad. And it's right before the meal. So I can set the table by picking out what I do want. Of course, if you want to set the table before you go to shul, that is not considered miyad. And that, believe it or not, could be an iser mide araisa. Incredible and frightening to think. So if somebody did a borer in order to set the table, they wanted to put the plate, they took out all the forks. If you're taking the forks from the tray where you have a fork section, there's no tarovis, there's no mixture. So you're taking all 12 forks, doesn't mean anything. But if you had them all mixed around in either the dishwasher or in on the drain board, all in that little, what's that little caddy, that silverware caddy, I guess, where they're all mixed up, but you would take out the 12 forks, because that's what you want, with your hand, but it's for a meal when you get home from shul in an hour or 2 hours, that's missing one of the three criteria, and that might be an iser mida oraisa in setting the table, which I guess is a mitzvah to tell people that. Yeah?
So if it's not going to be a borer situation, if it's all separate, are you allowed to do it just from like a hachana standpoint before you go to shul and set the table?
There's no hachana from Shabbos to Shabbos. Hachana will only be to the separate day. So 100%. If they're in separate, separate places, separate containers before, they're already in separate parts of your silverware container.
Yeah.
then you could set a Friday night for Shabbos lunch, or Shabbos morning before for Shabbos lunch before you go to shul. That's fine, because there's no borer activity. Yeah. That's a great question. If, let's say, they're all arranged by section, just one on top of the other. You have seven bowls on top of there, seven salad plates on top of that, is seven flat, main course plates. Is that considered a mixture? I think that would be okay. You could wait till next week. I'll have a little bit more about what constitutes a mixture or not. It just sounds like it's okay. One second. Wait, Rivka, you were there. That same part, yeah, okay. I think it's okay, but I have to double check.
Why, in the Mitzvah, why is it considered so less if, you want your big plates first, and then your small plates? Your small plates aren't so less, you're going to use them.
Right, so right now, what do you put down first?
That you're setting the table.
But food, it's now, what I don't, you're right, we're not in the discussion miyad right now. Now we're defining the Ochim Tov Pesach. If now what I want to do is set, the way I set my table is, it would be pretty awkward if I had my salad plate on top of that, put my big plate. And it would also be awkward if I had a salad plate and then I had to put my big plate underneath it. It's easier to first set up the big plates. So right now what I want is the big plates. So anything that is not what I want to do now is...
So it's like, so what do you see, solos can be awkward depending on things. If you can leave it in 10 seconds and switching instead.
Right now I want the big plates, and after I put out the seven big plates, I'm going to want the medium plates.
You know, that could be a minute. Yeah,
even less. Probably.
Because
as I'm taking it, this is what I do want or what I don't want. That's a good point. Right. Yeah, Marcus Sima. Yes. The trick that Marcus Sima is suggesting, which, does Moshe mention that? I don't remember who points this out, but the trick that you could do is if you have your silverware, let's say you want to set the table before you go to shul, which is very helpful and convenient. And it happens to be that you wash all the dishes last night after the meal, because you can eat them for Shabbos lunch. And you put them all in that silverware caddy. So now you have a whole hodgepodge, a mixture of all, 10 spoons and 10 knives and 10 forks, and they're all mixed together. And I want to set the table before I go to shul. So Malka Sima is telling us that you could take the whole thing and dump it down on the table, all strewn about, such that they're well separated one from the other. And if they're well separated one from the other across an entire table, then there's no mixture. So even though what you're doing now is you're taking the forks for later, for lunch that's going to be 2 hours later, but there's no mixture, so there's no butter to talk of if there's no mixture at all, because it's just so spread out, the density is so... Now, how to define that density, there's no clear halachic definition for how close is close that's considered mixed, and how far apart is separated so that it's not considered mixed. But presumably if it's scattered around the whole table, that's fine. If it's just spilled out on a plate, on a platter, that would probably not be fine. Where exactly would be the cutoff between a platter that if they were all scattered, it's still considered a mixture, and if it's scattered on the table, it's not considered a mixture, and they're separate and distinct? That's, you're not going to be able to find the clear cutoff in the postcard. That would be, but you might, yeah, that would be annoying, but that would be what you'd have to do if there are no other options. Yeah, it takes a while, yeah.
What if you arrange your plates somewhere, like sections into
your... Oh, meaning after you wash. So that means you're going to have to wash one piece at a time. If you wash one fork, you're welcome to put your fork away wherever you want it. But if you wash, when I wash dishes, when I wash silver, I usually wash three things at a time. If I now put one over here, one over there, it's not for immediate use. Oh, wait, could you pick three forks? Why are you picking three forks? It's really to help you later, isn't it? Oh, meaning when people bring the stuff to the kitchen, I'm going to have them put it in my sink. I say, the northwest corner of my sink. They're going to think I'm totally... Okay, so if you come to my house, we have an inflation sink and a milk sink. After you live in the Heights long enough, they give you that. And I tell my guests, thank you so much for helping us bring this stuff to the kitchen. Please be aware, the northwest corner is for you know, big plates. The southeast corner is for salad plates, and the north, whatever, the other corner. So besides, you know, suggesting that I admit myself to the facility, the question is, would that be considered okay? So I think if you put it away like that, that's fine. And once it's separated, you could... I guess if you want to wash the big one, you can. But if the only reason why you want to wash the big... Let's talk about forks. Let's say the only reason why you want to wash... If I like washing... Some people just like washing forks. Forks... There's something about forks. So they want to wash the forks. So they could wash forks. They're entitled. But if the only reason why they're washing forks now is so that they could put them so that they'll be able to set the table for later, that's a complicated application of what is miyat. I don't know the answer to that.
But if you're doing it anyway, I mean, like, it just fits better into your dry gap and you do it immediately.
Meaning you're going to pick out the forks so that you could put them into your dish rack neatly. Is that called consumption? Is putting it into the dish rack neatly, is that called that? Are you using it miyad? I'd have to think about that. I don't know. It's a good question. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'hakol nehiyah bidvaro. Okay, let's talk. Okay, let's not talk. Yeah, now. So the only way you'll do it is if you're not doing a builder. You're not choosing. You just close your eyes, reach down, take one thing. So there's no choosing. That's not builder. Once you have it in your hand, you can see where you want to put it. Because you only have one. You don't have a mixture anymore. And now you have this. There's no protocol, there's no results. I didn't want one or the other. I just have one thing in my hand. Now I'm going to put it wherever I want. You cannot, if you have five that you just dried, you cannot put them all each in their respective places, correct? No, because that's doing exactly.
Pick one, dry.
Take the five, put them down, and then I guess you'd have to take whatever one without looking and choosing. Just take whatever happens to come to your hand, and then yes, I did say that you could put stuff away Friday night so it will be available to you Shabbos morning. You could put stuff away Shabbos morning so it will be available to you Shabbos afternoon. I did not say you could do it Shabbos afternoon to prepare for after Shabbos. Sorry? Why? Because when you're putting things away, that's not borer. When you put toys, when you're separating the magnet tiles from the Lego blocks that are all mixed together in one pile, then you're doing a bow rip. If you just... What?
If you choose one,
if you choose one leg on one block, and then see where I want to put it. That might be okay. That would take very long. I'm saying I have one Lego set that's 200 pieces. And if you have a box of Lego that has like 8 Lego sets, you're talking about 1,600 pieces on the front. How long does it take a piece of paper? Let's say 1 second? Let's say half a second. That's 800 seconds. 800 seconds is, that's like a lot of minutes just to put it away.
So can you then do it that like each kid has a different job? Like you played with the Legos, you have to put away the Legos. So then that kid...
So you're telling that kid to do borer d'oraisa on Lego. The next kid gets to do borer on magnet tiles. At least you're sharing the wealth.
Right.
That's great.
You're like,
we'll all spend
time.
Oh, 100%, yeah. If you're putting something away and you know you're not having Shabbos lunch or Shalshus in your house, so then you can't prepare it again. Like, the same thing in terms of washing the dishes. If you want to wash your dishes Friday night so that they're available for Shabbos lunch, that's great. If you want to wash your dishes Shabbos Friday night and you're going out for lunch and Shalshus, so you can't wash the dishes. Unless there might be a situation where somebody just... I know there's a family in my building that... In my building, there was a time... or there are some people that were concerned, that this building that I'm in now is pretty good. I had a different building where they had a serious bug problem, that if you left unwashed dishes, then you were risking bringing bugs to your apartment. So then, let's say you eat at home Friday night, and you're out for lunch and Shabbos shows. So you want to wash your dishes to prepare for Motzei Shabbos? To prepare for Sunday? No. I don't want to have dirty dishes sitting around because it's going to attract bugs. But let's say somebody just can't handle having those dirty dishes there. It just drives them batty. So perhaps also for their Onik Shabbos, they need it to be clean. So then that's not Hachana for Motzei Shabbos. That's just they need it for right now. Those would be two exceptions where you would be allowed to do it Friday night, even though you don't need it for Shabbos lunch. It's a good question. I don't want to get into that now. It's a good question, but that is a very true question. But I'll leave it for now, because it's not a border. It's not a border issue. Yeah.
But if you're a neat person,
So I think there are different categories of neat people. There are some people that they like things that are neat. Okay, so it's dirty. I'm sorry. Other people just can't handle it, and that would be a little bit different. So I would suggest somebody who has that question should speak individually, presenting their unique situation to whoever they're asking the question. Okay, let's talk about a different topic that is very, very nogea. I mentioned the question last week, but I don't remember if we talked about the answer. So you're going to this oneg or kiddush in somebody's house, and the winter's starting, and you'll be wearing your coats now, and you get there early, of course, and they say, sure, just go dump it on the second bed in that first bedroom over there. And you dump it on the bed. And little do you realize that as you're ready to leave 35 minutes later, there are 74 coats all on top of your coat. So what do you want to do? Get rid of all those that are not yours, otherwise known as psolas, to find the one that is yours, which is otherwise known as ochel. So you're getting rid of all the psolas to get your ochel. That's the first scenario. The second scenario is, I think I mentioned it last week, I don't know if I remember if we explained it or not. You know there's a kiwi somewhere in that fruit drawer. The problem is, the kiwi is, you bought the kiwi last week, and this week when you came home from the fruit store, you poured all the new fruits on top of it. So now, to get to your kiwi that you want right now, because you're just in a kiwi kind of mood, you're only going to be able to access the kiwi by pushing away all of those grapefruits and oranges and apples that you don't want. So you're removing out of the way all of the things you don't want, the psalas, to get to the kiwi, which is your ochel, which you do want. So in both of these situations, it's really the same issue. If things are in your way, you're not separating, you're just getting them out of your way. Here, the Mishnah Berurah says it is permitted. He's not talking about jackets on a bed. He's talking about jackets on a hook, which is equally applicable. You have a hook and there are seven jackets on the top of it. The only way you could get to the bottom jacket is if you take off the top six jackets. So, is it a taroves? Yeah, it is a taroves, but you're not taking out what you don't, you're not removing what you don't want from the taroves. You just have to just lift it up to access what you need. So that will be similar to, we might have mentioned this last week, I don't remember, that would be somewhat similar to sort of taking off a peel, removing the outer part so you could access what's in it. What's underneath it, that will be okay, and therefore, you are permitted to lift off the top 70 whatever jackets to get to your jacket on the bottom, but lift them up. I think sometimes do it in a way that you're removing, not separating. I'm not sure how exactly, to define that, but lift it up and get what you need from underneath. Remove them, don't separate. I'm not sure if that's helpful. So similarly, with the kiwis also, you have to remove the things on top to get to what's underneath. That is going to be okay. That's a very nogeh halach l'maisa. What I want to talk about last tonight, and this will be the last thing we'll discuss, but it's very important, especially here in the Heights, is let's say you have two different things, but they're only different not because they taste different, not because they are called different things, but because they are halachically different. So I'll give you the first example. Let's say Shalosh Shabbos comes around, and you have a bag of all the challah, the leftover from Shabbos. And there are a bunch of rolls. Some of them have a break in them or a slice cut off them, and some of them are shleimim. They're all challah. They're all challah rolls. But some are shalim, which is what you do want for a halakhic purpose, and others are not shalims, which are not what you want for your lechem mishnah. So can you remove the, let's say you want to put this bag of rolls on the table, but there are two that aren't shleimim, so you don't want your guests to take those two. So if you just take those two out, and the other 10, you bought a dozen rolls, two are somebody bit from or cut or something before, or they just got broken in the bag, you remove those two not shleimim, and put out the bag with the 10 shleimim left on the dining room table for your guests to have for Shalosh Shabbos. So this is a question. There's a machlokas, how we consider things that are different only from a halachic perspective. And you know where this really applies? This really, really, really applies at the Seder. At the Seder, right? You have the box of matzah, and you want to look through, whenever you buy box of matzah, there are always a few that are broken, and you want to get the ones that are shleimim because you don't want to have, you want to have three shleimim because you're going to break one in the middle to make it lechemoni. So the others, you don't want to start off with lechemoni, you want to start off with shleimim, so you could break one and make it a lechemoni. So could you sort of separate apart? They're all matzah. They're only different. And size, we said, isn't a difference in Borer. The only difference is, halachically, with our halachic, if we put our halachic goggles on, all of a sudden they become different species. So here, Rav Yashiv said, it's machlokas. I think through Shlomo Zalman and Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says you shouldn't separate. But Rav Yashiv says something very logical. He says that, what's the role of your role? What's the role? The role of your role is to eat. It's not to serve as your lecha mishnah. It's not to serve as your halacha to have a shalem. It happens to be. You want it to be a shalem, but the role of your matzah, the role of this bread is eating. And as far as eating goes, you could just as well eat a half of one as a full one, as a shalem. And therefore, Rabbi Yashiv says, since the fact that it's shalem and can be used for your lecha mishnah is secondary, and the primary role is to eat your role, and therefore it would not be considered tuminim, and you can separate the ones that you don't want. There's no borer here. It's all one big. The purpose of rolls are to eat. I don't care if it's a shalem or not a shalem. And therefore, Rabbi Yashiv says that we will not consider this borer. You could remove what you don't want, the broken ones, and leave the good ones. I think the Shmir Shas Kirchasa argues on his machmir, but I think the understanding is important to realize. Yes.
If that's what you want now, it's okay, all right. 100% subjective.
Isn't that the same thing here with the shalom and
so that's a good question. Maybe that's what Shlomo Zalman is thinking. He's saying, right now, I happen to want this.
Right, but if you want the half piece of bread, we said before, no, there's no borer. If you want the half piece of bread just because you want a half piece of bread or a full piece of bread, that's different sizes. That's not a mixture. That's not two minim, I mean. That's not two minim. It's all bread. And therefore, you could do whatever you want. You could remove whatever you want because it's all bread. Here we're saying that from a halakhic perspective, they're not the same. Does that make it two minim? That we're saying is a machlokas. And we're just understanding that Rabbi Yashiv explains that the religious aspect is secondary. Now we're going to get to the main point. The other area where it's so important to discuss this issue of if something is different for halachic reasons, but not necessarily because it tastes different, looks different, is shaped differently, is when it comes to filtering water for halachic reasons. So here, and we'll finish tonight with this, it's going to take a few minutes to go through this, about 5 minutes to go through this. Here, we have to have a few prefaces. How many people here are from New Jersey? That's all? Okay, so just raise your hand if you're from New Jersey. Ashia es amecha, avarech es. Only five people from New Jersey? Okay. Seven hands from New Jersey. How many of you use bottled water in your house? Ashia, Es Amecha, Mavarech Es. You're all from Tina. Wow. Okay. So 5 out of 7, it looks like, use bottled water in New Jersey. Does that mean that, again, this is nothing to do with halacha, just, I want to know, can I filter water? So I go to Tinek, and it seems that all these Jews don't want to drink tap water, because Tinek tap water is contaminated, or either that or we're just very rich Jews, one or the other. So can we filter our water on Shabbos? Again, this is not halachic issues. The issues of bugs and water is only an issue in New York City because of New York City reservoirs and not anywhere other locales. It's only an issue for New York City, so New Jersey has a different reservoir. So you just want filtered water because it's New Jersey. And New Jersey has just all this contamination. So can you filter your water? So the halacha is clear. Let's start with this. The Shulchan Aruch talks about filtering. The Shulchan Aruch talks about filtering wine and filtering water. And it says, interestingly enough, listen carefully to the two sides of the coin. Yayin, this is Shulchan Aruch and Shinya Tess, which is Hilchos Borer, 319, Seif Yud. Yayin, Omayim, water or wine, Shehem Tzlulim, what's Tzalul? Clear. Clear water or clear wine, Mutar Lisanein, you're allowed to filter, Bimishmerasim, some kind of filter. Clear water, you are permitted to filter. Why are you filtering it? If it's clear. Maybe there's a little bit of dirt. Okay. And the Rama says, even though there are little bits of whatever, it doesn't matter. Since it's drinkable, without that, it's permitted to filter. Continues the Shulchan Aruch. V'im him achurim, with an ayin, if they are dirtied, bein mayim, bein yayin, whether it's water or wine, if it's dirty, if there's a lot of gook in it, asur l'saninam, is prohibited to filter. And Mishnah Berurah explains that what do we define as clean water or dirty water? Clean water that you're permitted to filter is whatever Rov B'nai Adam would do with this water. So if we go to Tinek and we take a census, we do some demographical research, and what are the vast majority of Tinek, whatever your township, Bergen County people do, not Jews, not based on social stratification, whatever the majority of people in Bergen County do with their water, that defines if this water most people will drink or not. If most people, that means 51% of people in Bergen County, will not drink tap water, that means that the tap water that people are filtering is because it's dirty. Rove people will not drink it, and therefore it will be prohibited to filter it. If, however, the five of you are among the minority, and most of the people drink tap water, and if you go to a water fountain in the park in Voti Park, if you go to Voti Park, and you go to the water fountain, and all the kids are drinking the water there, so that proves that people will drink the water, and therefore, it will be permitted to filter the water on Shabbos, whether you have a water filter on your tap or you have a Brita water filter, it will be totally okay if the majority of people are willing to drink water in Bergen County. Any questions about that so far? So therefore, we're not getting into the halakhic issues, in a place where the water is dirty, you are permitted to filter it if most people are willing to drink tap water. Any kind of filtering you want is mutter lechatchila. Now let's talk about the halachic issues. So here, you have to understand a little bit about OU policy to understand how the bug issues, copepods. There's a lot of literature about this. We're going to do this in 3 minutes if we have to. So the OU policy works like this. The OU has two poskim, Rav Herschel Schefter from YU and Rav Belsky from Torah Vedas. Whatever they decide, whatever psak they arrive at, that's OU policy. What happens when there's a machlokas? So then either Rabbi Menachem Kanak, who's the head of OU kosher, will weigh in and go like one of the two, or there'll be machmir deference to the person among Rabbi Belsky or Rabbi Schechter, who's machmir. So when it comes to New York City water, it is a fact that there are little tiny copepods which are bugs that are not microscopic. They are not microscopic. They are visible to the naked eye. And apparently, at least when the testing was done a number of years ago, they appear in the incidence of, for every 8 cups, there will be a copepod. Okay, so if you have a pitcher that has 8 cups of water in it, chances are that would have a copepod. Every 8th cup that you have, there's chances are that, statistically, that there's a copepod there. Now, Rabbi Schechter holds that that is a problem. Rabbi Belsky holds that that is not a problem. Rabbi Schechter holds it's a very big problem. Rabbi Belsky holds this mutzal chatchila. When I say very big problem, I mean in the sense of like an isidoraisa, and you can't even feed it to your children, kind of problem. So the OU policy presently is that for New York City, water must be filtered with a filter that is small, that has a small enough micron rating to filter out these copepods. Now, when a person filters out this water on Shabbos, why are they filtering it out? New York City has one of the tastiest waters in the entire world, according to apparently studies and taste tests and the like. So why is anybody filtering New York City water? It's not like New Jersey, which is contaminated. It's just for halakhic purposes. Meaning, and this is the argument that the Nishmas Adam, the Chai Adam, wrote a few svarim, one of them is the Nishmas Adam, the Chai Adam writes, the only reason why you're filtering this is, there's nothing wrong with the water. The water is delicious, clear, fresh and flavorful and robust, everything the water should be. It's just, there's this like lion sitting on it that says you can't drink it. That's the language that he used. Aryeh revealed. It's like a lion. It's the halacha says you can't drink it if you hold like Rav Schechter. So if you hold like Rav Belsky, which is fine, and these are two different psakim, Rav Willig also holds like Rav Belsky, then if you hold that there's nothing wrong with drinking tap water, so you could filter all you want. There's no problem with it. Everything that I'm saying now is only going to be according to Rav Schechter, which is also the OU policy, that water in New York City does have to be filtered. So according to that, meaning the machmirim, who say that New York City water does have to be filtered, but only for halachic purposes, the Chai Adam says, that's not anything wrong with the water. It's only a halachic reason. The water is totally fine. So what are you filtering out? Averus. You're not filtering anything out, says the Chai Adam. There's nothing there. Normal people drink this. Everybody, and the proof is all the time, are willing to drink this water without a problem. So the Chai Adam says, accordingly, that is not considered borer. It's just like filtering clean water. It's just like filtering clean water because the only reason that you don't do it is that you don't want to drink it straight is because of a halachic reason. There is, however, another sefer, the Maharam Shik, the Shaz Shus of the Maharam Shik. He's talking about a different kind of filtering for halachic reasons. He's talking about filtering, putting a filter on your tap for Pesach because you're worried that some chametz might come out. Okay, that's a chumrah, and he says since it's only a chumrah, it's not considered filtering, and therefore you could do it. But if it would be mi'ikr hadin, if the halacha would really define need that you filter it out for halachic reasons, that would be considered filtering, even though the only concern is halachic and not physical. So we have a machlokas whether or not you could filter out things if there's only a halachic reason why you're filtering. Without going into the details, and I'd like to tell you a story about this next week, at the beginning of next week, because it's a great story that talks about this. And maybe next week we'll talk about the reasons, but halach l'maaseh, Rabbi Schechter holds, even though Rabbi Schechter holds, that water does need to be filtered in New York City, he holds that if there's a tap that's attached to the tap, so you're not doing anything different because of it, you're just turning on your faucet, and there's a filter attached to the tap, that will be permitted, given A, the fact that Rabbi Belsky holds there's nothing wrong with the water in the first place, B, the fact that there's this opinion that I just mentioned that holds that if it's only for religious purposes, that's not called filtering at all, C, the fact that you're not doing anything, it's attached to the tap, there's another thing that he also gets involved with, putting everything together, Rabbi Schechter, even Rabbi Schechter, who holds water does need to be filtered in New York City, he does hold that if there's a filter that's attached to the tap, it is permitted to do that on Shabbos. However, if you don't have the attached to the tap component, it's a Brita filter, it's a water pitcher, a Brita water filter pitcher, that will not be permitted, even according to Rav Schechter, that will not be permitted to be used on Shabbos because although it's machlokas and whatever, but since it's something that you're doing differently to filter the water, it's not just turning on the tap in the same way you would wash your dishes and you would wash your clothes with this water. No, you're doing something special to filter it out for your drinking. That will be aser to do on Shabbos. As a session next week, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about these details, and then we'll go on to the next aspects.